Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let it be, let our rejoicing rise high, south and Georgia.
Off your teeth. Come on back to talk. We'll finish when I come back. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hi, this is Teresa Deer, host of the Let's Get to Work show, where we talk about jobs, careers, and entrepreneurship. I invite you to join us every Saturday morning where we examine how we leverage our competencies in our wheelhouse, sharpen instruments in our toolkit, challenge obsolete models, and secure opportunities that transform our lives. Join us on this knowledge transference platform and soar with us to new heights of success right here on the Let's Get to Work show at WVON 1690 AM on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Hashtag Teresa Deer.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
Greetings, family. This is Salim Muwakil asking you to check in with America's most astute radio audience every Saturday between 7 and 10 p.m. and astound family and friends with your bulging mind muscle. Join our global classroom where we're all students of the world.
On the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hello, I'm Sir Henry Cheatham, inviting you to join us here every Saturday night for Classic Blues and R&B on WVON 1690 AM and WVON.com. Here we play some great American music and we have lots of fun at Saturday nights on WVON 1690 AM and WVON.com. Come on and let's have some fun.
Come on.
Hi, this is Dr. Mason, the doctor in the house. Do you know that over the last year or so, I've lost almost 40 pounds? I've done that because I changed the way I've been eating for the last few years. Join me to learn more about that on my show, heard every Sunday right here on AM 1690, The Doctor in the House. That's 10 to 11 every Sunday right here on WVON.
This is Pam Morris-Walton, your gospel sister. Join me each and every Sunday at 11 a.m. for Gospel with Pam Morris-Walton.
I need just a little more Jesus. I need just a little more Jesus.
Be inspired, be blessed on 1690 a.m. WVON.
I need just a little more Jesus.
That's God's favorite radio station. See you there.
Listen to The Bob Shaw Show, The BS Show, Sundays on WVON at 2 p.m. Listen as veteran politician and activist Bob Shaw shares his thoughts on the state of politics in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. It's Bob Shaw, The BS Show, Sundays right after gospel with Pam Morris.
This is Bob Shaw. Listen every Sunday at 2 when I'll be telling you like it is. There'll be no BS on The BS Show.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Put your bad self, say it louder. Say it louder. Oh, yeah. Some people say we got a lot of malice. Some say it's about nerve. But I say we want to quit moving until we get what we deserve. Take you eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share. Say it loud. Say it loud. One more time. Say it loud.
Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud. I'm back, y'all. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm tired of beating my head up against the wall and working for someone else. I'm back, y'all. I had to take a few seconds with Insane Wayne on the B side. I tell you, ain't nothing like it. I tell you, I enjoyed having him in the studio with me for a few seconds. And you have to listen to him at night on the B side. Now I'm back, y'all. We are back here to now, and I'm going to try to pick up where I left off, and then I'm going to go to the phone 773-591-1690, 773-591-1690, iHeart Radio. We're on Blog Talk. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook. I don't know whether we on Twitter because Devin is off for her birthday. She told me she's going to wake up and tweet, get in a little bit to the Facebook because she's my, you know, she monitors my Facebook and posts and do all that. And it's her birthday weekend. And so we going to let her enjoy her birthday for the weekend. But I'm going to pick back up where I was, y'all, in terms of Harold Washington as we celebrate. You know what has happened to us so often in the black community is that we don't have the historical facts and the bottom line of how we were and who we are and how things happen. So we always either start from the middle or start from the top. I was watching the parade yesterday on Thanksgiving Day, and there was I was watching it. As Jim Lee said, I'm always analytical. But I was watching it, and I was noticing the people coming down the street, and they all had their heritage. Whether it was the Irish, whether it was the Hispanic, Latino, whether it was the Greeks, the Australian, everybody came and they was discussing their heritage. When our people came down, and the few that they had, and it wasn't that many, I want y'all to know that, they never talked about a heritage thing. And I want y'all to be clear on that now. There's always a break in a historical perspective of us. It's almost the same as when we got snatched and brought over here to be disconnected from what country we came from in Africa, or disconnected from our culture and our history. After slavery, Jim Crow, all of that stuff during that time, they disconnected us from our heritage in this country, whether it be music, whether it be our food, whether it be whatever we are. They kind of like snatch it and disconnect it and make it seem like we just have no roots, that we're just a tree. And when you're just a limb, you fall off, you're gone. So it was really interesting, and that's what I was watching, and I was noticing that everybody talking about their heritage and where they came from, and when they had a few black bands came, oh, that's so-and-so school. And that's all they did. Or they had one group out there jumping rope. Oh, they're against the violence and the guns. And they kind of minimized us. But let me go back. And I'm going to be talking about this throughout the day. About Harold Washington. At 7:15, I'm going to have one of the Mollison LSC parents to come on. And they're going to talk about an update of what's going on at Mollison School so that you can know what's going on at Mollison School. But let's go back to Harold Washington, because everybody likes to talk, and nobody knows what they're talking about. They don't know nothing. They just like to talk, and that's historically have been the way it's been with our people, that we just talk. So we are, and I'm going to talk some more about it at the 7 o'clock hour, because I want to go to the phones in a minute, 773-591-1690. But we organized Chicago Black United Community, CBUC. And the way we did that was to come together, and everybody could keep their organization, but it was under one umbrella. We'd be working on behalf of black people. Now, you got to remember, we organized in Lou and Georgia Palmer's basement. Georgia over there cooking their soup, making them cakes, and we're talking about what we got to do. And all our different groups were together, Conrad and all of us, and Nancy Jefferson, Joe Banks. It was all the black groups from Reverend Sampson, black folks from all over the city. And we knew we was going to be working with other people, but we also had our black folks, which CBUC, Chicago Black United Community, which anybody out there that's listening, you can call in and talk about our mobilization. And then later on we came up with BIPO, Black Political Independent Party. Just know that I was part of helping to organize both of those groups. But out of that, one of the founding members, all of us who was concerned about black, so out of that we began to teach our people political education about what government was, what they had to do, and how they moved. And we gave folks certificates when they came out. We had books they had to read. That's The Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams. That's the book that we had to have for the Bible with Lou Palmer. We destruct y'all remember that. Some of y'all remember that. You can talk about it. And we still said, Streeter beat her, Harold would defeat her. Danny was out there. All of us was out there. How do you defeat Jane Byrne? We told black folks, you can do this. You know, some of us got beat up, got thrown in jail, and black folks began to see this great movement of folks going to jail. In fact, I went to jail every day. The Mollison parent from there to the CHA, Winston Moore, y'all remember him down there? Y'all remember what they did at CHA? And folks said, well, it started from the boycott fest. Not really. You know, it didn't just start there. Folks are going to say it started there. But you got to remember, we had all of these struggles going on with the Board of Education, with the CHA, all of the things. We just won Harold Washington getting them in the congressional seat. We had a big fight with that. But we was concerned, and we began to put together a whole team. But what we discovered was all of those aldermen down there was fighting us. You know, I think Danny Davis and Lou Palmer might have been, I mean, Danny Davis and Cliff was probably the only two we had down there was fighting with us. Cliff, Kelly, and Danny. So they were fighting us very, very hard. But what you got to understand is we didn't just go in there putting Harold in. There was a whole team of aldermen went in to try to carry his agenda. And we had to study government and had to understand government to be able to be effective with Harold. You know, we couldn't just go in there and say, I'm in, what you want me to do. But in order to protect him, we had to know government. Now, I really at first didn't want to run. I tried to get everybody to run against Kennedy. They were scared, and because I was enjoying myself being on the other side. We was mobilizing the parents. And that's when they came with these local school council, y'all, because you had the local advisory council, which would advise and was very strong, and we had became the equalizer became so strong in the schools began to really get stronger. We had majority of the schools cross ethnic line. We had organized, and once they sued us, we really was something. And we had organized to, and they had to stop that. So what they did is they went in Springfield, all these business folks, and put their signs up all over these schools, and they went to Springfield so they could stop the parent equalizers. Because we said we wanted to equalize the scale of education. And that's when they came up with these local school councils. And they said we want the community people to elect the local school councils. And our position was that on the north side, up in all them other, some of them other places, you was going to have teachers and other folks that was in charge of those schools and in charge of those budgets. You had business folks and all that. And on our end, we was not going to have some of our community, not all, was going to have those kind of people on the local school council, and they should leave the parent equalized as is. Well, they put a lot of money, y'all right, remember, into being elected. And most of those folks who got elected when they were up office. But so they put a lot of money into the local school council to kill the parent equalizers. Y'all need to be clear on that. But then when you see strong parents like the Mollison parents did last week, I had no choice but to join them. So when you want to understand what happened with Harold Washington, we could have elected anybody during that time, but I think we chose the right person because we had a plebiscite. It was at Bethel Church, AME Church, and we was mobilizing. The Mollison parents was responsible for taking the defender from the largest national pictorial paper to an everyday paper again. They had to begin to print every day because we was creating so much stuff along with this movement that was growing that in order to keep up, they had to run every day. So you had Don Terry, who then turned his over to Cheetah, who was the marathon reporter. So they came out every day. Now they back to once a week, which says a lot, y'all, that they went during the Harold Washington movement, before the Harold Washington movement, during the parent struggle, from once a week to every day. Now they back to once a week. And the people were energized and organized. And I'm coming to the phone in a minute. But what happened was, as we said we were going to boycott that fest. Mary and I had already. We was going to go over there. And we said we was going to go over and do something to Jane Burns' crown and jewels, her thing that she had at Navy Pier. So Jesse was on D-103. He likes to tell this story and said, somebody said, boycott the fest, and we all decided to boycott the fest. So we moved from disruption of Jane Burns' thing to boycotting it. And Jane Burns was slick. If you look, you're going to see what I said. They negotiated a toilet in a tent. We got down there ready to go over to where Jane Burns was, but the negotiation behind us had became, sit them over there across the street over there and get them toilets and tents. And we said we weren't participating in a toilet in a tent. That's just a historical fact, if you want to look. So that's how that kind of happened. We still went on to fight Winston Moore. We had to deal with that CHA board when they moved black folks. And you had Twyvale, all of these folks. Mooney, all of them was on the board of CHA, all the things they were doing. And we were fighting. Thank God for the spirit of Marion Stamps and all them brothers and sisters around the city. So that was an actual movement going on. When the plebiscite was held, we selected, so Harold Washington won the plebiscite. And he was playing around with whether he was going to run or not. And we met at the Roberts Motel. That's why it's very important to have your own water hole. They tore it down. What y'all don't know is every historical spot that we had, they tore it down, whether it was on the west side when Dr. King came here, the west side organization with WSO, with Chester Robinson, all that stuff is gone. All the housing where Dr. King lived and everything historical on the west side is gone. So that's what they do. They tear down historical places so that you don't even know what's going on. That's why when you pass and you look and you think about Lou Palmer, think about all that stuff, then you say, well, what's going on? Why do they keep tearing out? So you really won't even know what really went on. So then as we moved and we began to deal with the whole question of CHA, how we was going to do, what we was going to do with education, how we was going to do all of this stuff. And all the stuff we were going to do, we begin to move and mobilize and organize, lost my train of thought, mobilize and organize. And as we begin to move, mobilize, and organize, then we begin to get this whole movement going. And as we had our plebiscite and we was trying to decide, that's why I'm so sorry they tore down Harold's place over here on Cottage and the place on 79th and the place on Wentworth is now store. So we began to move and we began to mobilize. And they tore down Robert's Motel, where the historical place we met up there. And some of you who out there was probably in that meeting. And Lou Palmer said, no, we're going to see him now. He got to stand up and say he's going to run now. We're moving on. And that's when they went and met with him, and he decided, okay, I'm going to go. Folks at Harold decided to go, and he said, give me this and give me that, and then I'll run. It was deeper than that. Give me so much money, so many registered voters. And then we forget about Mr. Gardner. Because of our movement that we had, he came with Come Alive October 5. We met on the west side in the basement. When Emma Young was over there, Nate, Clay, a bunch of us was over there in that basement. Emma was representing Soft Sheen, and we were talking about Mr. Gardner wanted to get involved in our movement and registration, and he gave his whole PR team over there to work with us, and that's how we came up with Come Alive October 5, which meant we was going to get folks to begin to register. When you look at how we fought to get the, we was responsible for getting the registration, the deputy register program on the, with Jane Byrne was fighting us, but Lavelle was there. A lot of other folks, we got him, and we got that. So there's a whole story that goes with this thing, not just give me this and give me that. But we did have business people like Mr. Gardner who did do it. Let me go to the phone, and I'm going to come back, because I'm also going to talk on the other side about the Mawson parent. I want to talk about, keep on talking about Harold, and I want to talk about Haiti, the Haitian people. Gutierrez is running around trying to tell me the DECA illegal. The Haitian people are refugees. And I don't see black folks saying anything about what's going on with the Haitians. And we're going to talk about that too. They're refugees. They are not immigrants. They didn't come over here. They're refugees. Kwame's from Haiti. I want you to stand up, but nobody's talking about them. Let me go to Marvin from the west side. Marvin, how you doing?
All right, Dorothy. How you doing? Happy post-Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I had sweet potato pie. I had everything. I had my family over there. It was a family affair.
Yeah, I know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Same way I had cake and greens and turkey and all good stuff.
Yeah, it was good. I cooked that, and anybody who used to come to my Thanksgiving dinners when I was alderman, when I had those Thanksgiving parties, know I can cook some mean sweet potato pies.
Everybody had all good stuff.
Yeah.
We had so much stuff on my plate. It was just so. I took a lot of that stuff home.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tell people the reason black folks celebrate these holidays is give black folks a chance for family folks to come together. And,
yeah.
You know, during slavery, that's the only time they didn't bother was doing holidays. So that's why we celebrate holidays, bring our families together.
That's right. Hey, I was, this is the day about when Harold Washington passed. Let me say this. Harold Washington was one of a kind, but I'll tell you something. That speech that he met Bill Cameron always play, it was part of that speech he said when I still went. I can't remember all of what Harold Washington said in that speech, but it has something to do with being of a population of ascendancy, and that it when whether it's day or night or day, it is our turn. It is their turn. He's talking about us. It is our turn.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the Jews do it. Roman Catholics do it, Irish do it. He said everybody should do it, and we do it, and we should do it.
And
it's not because you
don't
hate people because you got the because you are the boss that you got population that somebody's in there. You don't hate Irish because you're Catholic. You don't hate people, black people, you know, Jews because you black. Look,
He said to love black people don't mean you hate anybody else.
That's right.
But you better love black people because you're black.
But right. When Obama was the president, I thought he was going to use at some point that particular speech because he came to He came to Chicago when Harold Washington was mayor, and to work for the community organizing. Now I thought he picked up on a whole.
But he wasn't no Harold Washington.
When Harold Washington was the mayor.
Well, he wasn't no Harold Washington. I always say
that's all right.
I always say that. He's not a descendant of he's not us. He's black skinned from Africa. You know, he's an African American, he's not a black American. So what Harold felt, he don't feel. So everything he was doing is what he felt. You know, so, and I think that's what black folks messed up at. I kept telling y'all he was the president of the United States of America. And he was not a black, a descendant of an enslaved person who understood our struggle. He didn't understand our struggle like Harold Washington did. See, America would never have allowed a person who was a descendant of an enslaved African, a black in America, be president. You know, they had to have somebody that was distant from us. Now, that's not to say the same about his wife. She understand what we've gone through, but he did not understand it. And his commitment was to the immigrants because that's what his heritage was. That's what his father and his mother, grandmother came from Ireland. His father came from Africa. So he was committed to what he was. And black folks can't get mad at him. That's what he did. And right now his center is still going to be global. He's not putting his presidential library over there.
Right, but let me say this. When I saw a CNN program, an interview with President Obama before he left office, a black person interviewed him, and he asked Obama, he said, there's rumors that you weren't the president for black people. You didn't do anything enough for black people. Well, Obama replied, he said, I don't want to be president for just black people. I want to be president for all Americans. But you know what? The contradiction of Obama was of that. He said, look, I'm a president for everybody. But we're Americans, too. Black folks are in America.
Bob, but I'm surprised.
And Obama overlooked this, and every time they mentioned something about Obama, Obama was sweating, cringing, scared.
Well, Marvin, I got to go now, but I know that's something, because you was a staunch supporter of Obama. And for you to say this and be analytical, that I know that, my God, happy Thanksgiving to you, you and your family. Whatever you're going to be doing is a family affair more than anything else.
I want to hear the rest of Mayor Washington speak.
I will.
Because people need
I don't find it this week, I'll have to look for it and I'll find it. And that's what I'll try to find it because I got a lot of Harold Washington speech.
People need to know about him and then Dempsey Travis because of Harold Washington. Dempsey Travis was more popular with that because he wrote that book, the autobiography of Black
Chicago. I'm going to look in that book and see is that
Harold Washington of Black Politics and Harold period and Black Jazz. I like Dempsey Travis. He gave you more of a round thing about what his friend Harold Washington had accomplished
It was a great book.
Life.
I'm in that book, there. I'm in that book, Marvin.
Because I saw you in there.
Uh-huh. Okay, Marvin, I got to go now. Time is slipping by me. I got so much to talk about, and this phone is lit up, and I want everybody online to stay online because we're going to talk. I really hang in there. Man, thank my man for hanging because I really do want to talk about the Haitians, and I want to talk about Harold, and I want to talk about the Mollison parents, and just talk about us, y'all, because so often we don't look from the root of things. We start from the leaf. We're going to start from the roof. It's a family affair, y'all. It's a family affair. 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.bon.com. We are on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go, y'all. Listen to us. We're talking about the real deal with Harold Washington. We're talking about Thanksgiving, a family affair. We're talking about the Mollison parents, and we're talking about the Haitians. And we're just talking to you. We letting you kind of move along. Those who own, hang on, because I want to hear what you got to say. Get your coffee, get your tea, Blog Talk. We also on Facebook, and we're on blackplanet.com. Happy birthday, Ebony. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't hang up, y'all. 773-591-1690. Now we got a full bank of calls. We still have a couple of lines open. Get your coffee, get your tea, come on back. And talk to me, y'all. I'm going to talk to you. That's why I'm here, because I want to be with you. Be right back. It's a family affair.
Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair. It's about the family, y'all. We can't let them destroy the family, regardless of what anybody's trying to do. It's a family affair. We're going to let this song take us out. Don't y'all hang up. When we come back on the other side of the break, we got a full bank of calls, but we're going to talk to you another end. Get on here. We got a couple of lines y'all want to get in because this phone been lit up all morning. Y'all can call 773-591-1690, y'all. It's a family affair. We got a couple of lines open for those who gonna get in. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Hey, y'all. It's a family affair right here at BON. It's a family affair all over this country. Black folks, it's a family affair. Come on back to the family. It's the roots, baby. It's not the leaf. We'll be back, y'all.
Wants to blow. Nobody wants to be left out. You can't leave cause your heart is there. But you can't stay cause you've been somewhere else. You can't cry cause you look broke down. But you're crying anyway cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
One child grows up to be somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love.
Egypt fights back. Trump versus time. I'm Christopher Cruz. Egyptian warplanes have hit vehicles and militants today believed to be responsible for an attack on a mosque yesterday that killed 305 people, 27 children among them. ISIS is being blamed for the slaughter, says correspondent Ian Lee.
In the northern part of Sinai, ISIS has been operating there for quite some time. In this mosque in particular, they were targeting Sufi Muslims, which ISIS views as essentially infidels.
It was the deadliest attack by Islamist extremists in Egypt's modern history. President Trump and Time magazine are at odds.
President Trump told his Twitter followers he was told by Time that he would probably be named Person of the Year for the second year in a row. But the president said after learning it would involve a detailed interview and long photo shoot, quote, "I said probably is no good," and took a pass. Time says not so. It tweeted that the president is, quote, "incorrect about how we choose Person of the Year." The Time tweet added it won't comment on the choice until the announcement on December 6th. Rich Johnson, Washington.
Strong online sales this week sent Amazon's stock rising. Correspondent Steve Kestenbaum says that means the world's richest man became even richer.
Amazon stock had another big jump on Friday, following a report that online shopping on Friday and Thanksgiving was up 18% compared to the same period last year. The price of a share of Amazon rose 2.5% to $1,186. That pushed founder Jeff Bezos' net worth into 12 digits. According to Bloomberg, Bezos is now worth $100 billion.
As one writer noted, it couldn't have happened on a worse day. Macy's stores across the country had problems processing some credit and gift cards on Black Friday, making long lines even longer. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This Christmas, the Home Depot has the hottest recipes for the kitchen. Up to 40% off appliance special buys and up to 24 months special financing on store-wide purchases. Like a Maytag stainless steel refrigerator, just $498, with extra deep door bins for more shelf space and a Black Friday price for more room in your budget. Our lowest prices of the year, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details. Credit offer valid through November 29th. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply.
Attention small business owners, you know how hard it is to get funding to grow your business. Next Wave Funding is a direct funder that can help you get the cash you need when you need it, even if your credit is not that great. If you've been in business for over 1 year, have at least $12,000 in sales every month, Next Wave will purchase your future earnings and give you the money you need. It's as simple as that. This is by far the easiest and best funding for existing businesses. Call 800-430-4566. That's 800-430-4566.
A fight is brewing over a Postal Service quirk that gives Iowa addresses to some people in northern Missouri.
It's an oddity that causes trouble when people vote, pay taxes, even when they die. Senator Claire McCaskill calls it one of the dumbest things she's ever seen. The Postal Service says it's working with the Missouri Democrat to resolve it, but McCaskill is now calling on the Postmaster General to fix it. It's been going on for years, but residents in Clark County are newly concerned because now it's going to interfere with a new 911 system. I'm Jan Johnson.
A postal worker from Houston is accused of stealing a checkbook from the mail and writing herself $2,000 in checks. Lonequil Hoskins, has reportedly admitted carrying the checks home in her postal satchel earlier this year. The post office has suspended her and turned the case over to the DA, which has charged her with felony forgery. Investigators believe the victim, an 83-year-old woman. I'm Christopher Cruz.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? Personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 60% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at less than $12. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code RADIO to get 60% off all custom holiday cards. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code RADIO.
Attention small business owners, you know how hard it is to get funding to grow your business. Next Wave Funding is a direct funder that can help you get the cash you need when you need it, even if your credit is not that great. If you've been in business for over 1 year, have at least $12,000 in sales every month, Next Wave will purchase your future earnings and give you the money you need. It's as simple as that. This is by far the easiest and best funding for existing businesses. Call 800-430-4566. That's 800-430-4566.
It's the 27th anniversary of our annual Seniors Breakfast. And this holiday season, we're doing it big. Seniors, come out and enjoy a piping hot breakfast on WVON and enjoy the sounds of the season. We'll be at the House of Hope, 752 East 114th Street at 114th and the Bishop Ford Expressway. This Seniors Breakfast is going to be big, because Dorothy Roberson will be there doing Tina Live. If you like Tina Turner, you'll love Dorothy Roberson's Tina Turner rendition. You'll also be serenaded with the sounds of the season.
This is
Gold
Bingo.
Because we're playing bingo, getting health screenings, dancing, and shaking a tail feather. And all this fun is free for seniors. $8 for those under 65. And we're checking IDs. We'll see you bright and early Saturday, December 2nd from 8 a.m. until noon at the House of Hope, 114th and the Bishop Ford Expressway. It's wheelchair accessible. Now this is what you call a big breakfast, brought to you by our big-hearted sponsors:
ComEd, WellCare, Gift of Hope, GenCare, Vision Salon Eye Care Associates, Next Level Health, and South Point Nursing and Rehabilitation Center.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Black Friday's over, but not at Ace, where you can get big savings all weekend. Get up to 50% off select gifts throughout the store. Plus, save 50% on 300-count Celebrations LED Christmas lights, now just $9.99 after instant savings. And for even more savings, print out our online coupon to save $10 on your purchase of $50 or more. This weekend only at your neighborhood Ace.
Coupon valid on November 25th and 26th. Limit 1. Exclusions apply. Lights offer valid for Ace Rewards members at participating stores.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
If every boy can sing till the heaven ring, ring with the whole. The present has brought her, facing the rising sun of a new day. Let us march on till victory is won. Don't need the road.
4 want to talk about Milton.
Some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
Dr. King said, we got some difficult days ahead. He said, because I've been to the mountaintop and I looked over and I seen the promised land. Most folks don't understand what a mountaintop experience is. They think it's some kind of, they really don't understand the place that God lets you go in your mind and where he lets you go and where you can see and take control. That mountaintop experience, he used to talk about that mountaintop experience. I used to hear Jim Bevel talk about that mountaintop. I'm going to tell you something. When you have a mountaintop experience, you're kind of almost like a new person because you see beyond a lot of stuff and you don't hold the, you know, that's why I don't hold grudges against nobody. I talk and tell them how I feel and keep moving. There's certain things about a mountaintop experience, and I looked over and I seen the promised land. Might not get there with you, but we as a people to get to the promised land. And he really thought that we would move from being a leaf to a root and to build out our community with all of the things and the sacrifice that everybody had made coming down different roads, whether it was Malcolm, whether it was any of the groups that came down different roads, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, everybody came down different roads. With one thing in common, the liberation of black people, that there is no way that those who would reap the benefit would not come back and rebuild community. They need to come back to repatriate. We can talk about all the people who are denying us what they're doing, but also know that those who have the finances, they take their money and they build other communities up. They will not come back, and they have kind of abandoned our community. So that's what Dr. King was talking about when he said, I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land because he really believed in black people. And I still believe in the masses. He says that those who reap it sometime will just walk over the masses and take us over a cliff. Not all, but some. It is 7 o'clock. Wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world, sitting down, riding, driving, or just talking, loving us, hating us, whatever you feel. It doesn't matter to me, but it's 7 o'clock. And you got to take this to the bone, to the brain. Whatever you think it, so it is. So time to take that deep breath. I don't have Ebony with me, but I got Titus. I got my engineer with me. Titus, we're going to take a deep breath 3 times. 3 is Trinity. Black, 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 black. Come on, 1 more time. 2 more times. Black, 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 black. 1 more time and take it real deep, y'all. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you? Come on now. Hey, lock her in. Lock your lung in. Woo. Hey, y'all, is it black enough for you? Come on, y'all. Is it black enough for you? Because Dr. King got something to tell you.
I come here tonight and plead with you.
Plead with you.
Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation proclamation can do this for
that's
us.
That's right, no Dr. King.
Tennessonian, our Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this
that's
for
that's what the Mollison parents were saying the other day. We're going
to
do this.
If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources
Woo!
Of his own soul
yes!
and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood
Come on, y'all.
His own emancipation.
His own emancipation proclamation. Come on, Dr. King. Come on, keep y'all. Hold on, this line is y'all lit up. Just hang in there.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of.
No, we don't have nothing to be ashamed of. Be black,
somebody
y'all.
Told a lie one
Ooh,
day.
Come on, Dr. King, teach them.
They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the
That's
word.
We
black.
Gotta teach our babies, y'all. We gotta hang
it's
on.
Always
with
something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha!
Get the language right, Dr. King.
But I want to get the language right tonight.
Come on. Pass out to the Mollison band.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black
That's
and beautiful.
That's King. I know. That's my leader. That's what they don't want you to hear. That's what the Mollison parents were saying the other day, that they are black and they're beautiful. They're standing with their children. My phone is lit up. I probably got one or two lines open. Y'all been calling all morning. I want to thank y'all for calling. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. If you miss anything, you can go back. We're on blackplanet.com, Facebook, group Facebook. And I don't know whether Emmy is tweeting this morning because it's her birthday. But, you know, we got a lot to talk about this morning. We're talking about the Harold Washington anniversary and really been trying to give you a little bit. You can do it. We need to teach each and every day of what's going on. It was interesting. I was telling y'all about the Mollison parents and all. So we're talking about Harold Washington's anniversary of his death that day. And we're also talking about the Haitians. You know, the Haitians are refugees. They're not immigrants. And nobody's talking about what's happening to them in Florida. They're ready to send them back. And we're going to talk about that. But we're talking about the Mollison parents, who I salute as an alumni parent and a neighbor of Mollison School, with someone who had children to graduate. That movement, the Mollison parents movement, kicked off the election of Harold Washington. The talking drums with Lou Palmer as we boycotted that holiday weekend. We started our stuff during the Thanksgiving and Christmas. So when I think about the Mollison parents that was over there and I saw what they was going through, there was no way I could be half a block from the school and not be there to join them. So we're going to, and y'all can stay on the line, the phone is lit up, but I'm going to, I woke Yolanda up, and I guess she might have been already up, but I want her just to give an update. It's going to be a few minutes update, and then I'm coming to the phones, y'all, as to where they are with the Mollison parents. I know they had is she in? She's in. Good. Good morning, Yolanda.
Good morning, Miss Tillman.
How you doing?
I'm well. And you?
I'm fine. I want you to just give my audience, because I know they want to know, and the rest of you can hang on the phone. An update. I know y'all had an LSC meeting the other night, and I know as we were out there, and those people from around VON audience came out and supported you on Monday in terms of the babies for those rats, and we insisted that they let y'all in, because they weren't going to let you in. And there was meeting in there, but you had a meeting also. I had a local school council meeting. I want to know what happened. And just give me kind of an update on the Mollison situation. I also understand that was one man went into the classroom, had no business there, that he works at another school telling those kids, those children, I know you're used to rats. I know you're not afraid. But give us kind of an overview, an update of what your struggle is, what you did and where you are now, and what's your next move, because we're there with you.
Well, currently at this time, we had an LSC meeting Tuesday evening, and the entire room was filled with facility managers from CPS, from Aramark, managers, We had lots of parents in attendance, the LSC community, administration, many staff members as well, and children. We were told that the notice went out from the school community stating that on the 16th it was reported, which I consider to be very inaccurate because I first got notice of this issue on Monday. Monday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from staff. And what I was told was that on Friday the 10th, that's when the rodents had pups in the teacher's classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to understand that. How do we send a notice out saying that there was an issue on November 16th? The issue occurred way before the 16th.
Uh-huh.
And upon talking to many school community people, teachers, children, staff, they are stating that for the last couple of weeks before this incident occurred, they have been emailing the administration about concerns of rodents running around the class or dry things on their desks and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So we as the school community, as myself being a parent of three children at Mollison School and a graduate of a child from Mollison School, know that for the last 2 years we have been having an ongoing problem with rodents.
Mm-hmm.
Not to this extent. We have heard children, teachers say they seen droppings, but we were not visually seeing rodents running around the school building.
They just kind of like taking over now. But now they had just kind of taken over all in the lunchroom, all in the classrooms.
Exactly. I mean, we have teachers that have opted to not go into their classroom because the children are fearful and running and stumbling over each other. We have a teacher who's been out of her class the entire week last week.
And
she was in the library.
And one little girl said the rats ran all over her feet. A little boy said he went home and put his head in his pocket. The parents said pulled up a whole handful of rodent drippings that he thought was lint, but it was rodent turds. So,
wow. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, my children stated that when they were in the girls' washroom, rodents was running around in the washroom. The same little girl who, came and spoke on the news the other day.
Yeah.
My daughter's in her classroom, and she stated the same thing, that they seen them running around in the girls' washroom. I got notices that they were running down the hallway last Monday, in the morning time when kids were coming in for entry.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not what I consider to be just, a minor problem. And I'm so upset on how CPS and the district has decided to downplay the seriousness of this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're saying, oh, they're only field mice. Okay, they're field rodents. They don't belong in the school building with the children while they're trying to learn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we were told that over the weekend they will be doing deep cleaning, which at first they stated when we finally got in, because, they were trying to keep us out.
Yeah.
The parents outside the door, LSC community,
mm-hmm.
Standing outside the door and refusing with many, many security guards. So, I'm so upset that here it is. We've had school shoes and didn't have this many security guards on deck. So here it is. You're locking out people who are concerned about the safety and health issues of our children.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to cause any ruckus or, we're here about concerns. I mean, valid concerns.
Right.
And it was only until I walked up and stated to them, I know my rights as a parent.
And
I have three children that I just dropped off at the back of the school, so I'm coming in.
And the VON audience was there to support you, and I want to thank them for that. They came out to support you.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Now, they also said, Yolanda, they had rodents all in the cafeteria and stuff. They're everywhere.
Yes, there has been reports. I mean, the school failed an inspection, which is on
October.
Yeah, in October they failed an inspection. And in the inspection, the report reads that they were 5 to 10 mouse droppings throughout the school in different areas, in parts of the lunchroom, the teacher staff room, around the microwave, on the table. So clearly this is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who walks into the school, as they say, Dr. Jackson, they say she walked in and stated that this is the cleanest it's ever been. You cannot look at a building from just walking in and saying it's clean when mm-hmm. you're saying rodents are running around. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think the rodents are going to just pop up at the door and be like, hi, how are you? You know, we're here.
Well, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, Yolanda. So Mollison, like all the other schools, don't have janitors. They have a contract person who cleans it. Then is it Aramex? You said Aramex, and they was at the meeting too on Tuesday. And I know, and I know they had sent out a notice and a robocall last week telling parents that to bring their children back, everything had been taken care of. And I know when you and Miss Dale and all of you walked around, you saw the problem was taken care of. So Aramex is like a contract cleaner. Am I correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They are, but as far as the Mollison School community goes, we have one custodian who's cleaning in the daytime hours. So throughout the morning when the kids come to school, all the way up until close to a little bit before it's time for them to leave, I think our second person comes on maybe around 2-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So for the whole day of a building of, I mean, it's close to 400 kids, 300 70 kids, something to that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You have one person cleaning, and he's out in the yard, you know, trying to keep the grounds up. He's cleaning outside, and then call periodically inside to clean up spills or waste. So mm-hmm. it's really hard for one person to try to upkeep and hold the entire building by himself in the AM.
Well, let me ask you this.
So at the meeting, we asked them if y'all's concerns are really about making sure that children are the best in your best interest, then why won't you guys send a second person over to help out?
Well, the bottom line, if that school was white children, those children would not have gone back in there. Bottom line.
And most definitely. And I definitely agree.
And they certainly would have had a bunch of black men pushing y'all out. I mean, I was very upset about that many men pushing black women back instead of standing there on behalf of those children saying, I'm sorry, we can't join this because these babies are at risk. And y'all were really, really strong. And what are you? What are you going to do about Monday? What are they saying?
Well, they're saying that over this holiday break weekend that they were definitely getting in the building and setting more traps and
setting traps.
Yeah.
Now wait a minute. Now what I was told, because I told my audience last week I was going to contact the mayor. Frank Clark, all of them, which I did. I contacted all of those suckers, all of them. But the thing of it is that now I was told they were supposed to have a blowout, like some kind of blowout on deep cleaning and go in there and blow it out, not just setting traps. They didn't tell y'all that?
Well, they said they want to get in there. Now, my thing is, I'm not sure what they're using. Over the last couple of days, when they said they went in last weekend, they said they put down some traps and then they went back in the following day. And they had captured a couple. So it's supposed to be more extensive this weekend since the school building was empty for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just exactly, you know, what they plan on doing, I'm not sure. I just know that they are supposed to do more extensive extermination service and as well as deep clean.
Well, were you
when me and Kathy Dale went in, we definitely seen that behind the bookshelf, we're not clean.
Mm-hmm. That's where the rodents was coming in. Will you all get a chance to go in maybe tomorrow evening and inspect? And I know Kathy's probably listening. Y'all need to go in tomorrow evening and inspect that school before you let those children in there on Monday?
Okay. I mean, that's definitely a great idea. We're hoping that administration see it in the best interest of children and ourselves as stakeholders to give us a call or update us. Like I say, I mean, I can most definitely walk over to the school myself and see if someone is in the building to allow me to come in and, you know, check up on things. But as far as what day they're supposed to be going in, I wasn't given a specific date.
Well, they were supposed to go in Tuesday evening after y'all meeting, and they were supposed to be in there cleaning. That's what. And I want to let everybody know that you are still strong. When I get off the air, when I get home and get myself settled down with some coffee and eat some food, I'm so hungry. I'm going to call you maybe later today, you and Kathy Dale, because we need to contact. And Alderman's right across the street, and I know she's listening. And Alderman, you need to let the parents get in there, and I'm going to make some calls too and let y'all go in and inspect that school tomorrow. You should not take your children back in there. And if it's not clean, and just sit out that robocall saying keep them on for another day. I'm sorry, but
I was told from one of the facility managers that she would make sure that the building was definitely clean.
And the facility manager is one of those folks who is the facility manager? That girl Flowers.
Fowler, yeah.
But she's the one that told Janice Jackson that the building was clean in the first place. Am I correct?
That's right. They said that they would allow their children to go there. I mean, we asked many, many times.
They're lying to you.
I
they're saying anything.
With your child be able to come into class? My thing is, any place where rodents are running around and children are running and screaming is not a safe environment. I mean, hands down.
And it's
and
not
anybody
helpful.
Can try to say that it is, it's not.
And it's not.
Children have allergies. Children have been becoming sick. My children were in the emergency room and have just missed a few days out of school. My children never are sick.
Well, you
and then, as a result of that, it passed along to everyone else in the household.
Mm-hmm. Well, the parents need to file a lawsuit. That's what they need to do. They should file a lawsuit, bottom line. Now, Yolanda, tell me one thing. The board is lit up. But I got one lady want to talk about the models in school, and I'm going to let her ask you a question. The rest of y'all, y'all hold in there because this is very important. We need to talk about the past, but we need to talk about the future, which are our children. They're being traumatized by gunshots, all the other stuff, not by rats. And all those people came up in that school, and we're going to see. So, Yolanda, who was the man that came to the classroom? Somebody came and told the children that they're used to rats. Didn't I hear something like that?
Well, children told me that.
The clerk's husband who came from another school came up and spoke to them and said what?
No, he is one of the volunteers at the school.
Okay, he's not a he's
and
not,
he
don't
called work. The children upon having conversation like basically like they're overreacting. Parents are overreacting and as if it's not unnormal that children like, okay, you guys seen a mouse before. Like, okay, big deal. My thing is that was unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are people acting like this is the normal? This is not what we see in our household. We don't live with mice and rats.
Mm-hmm. Because they're black children.
Yeah, like black children are supposed to be so poor and unhealthy and uncleanliness
right.
that we live with rodents. No.
Right. Well, let
and
me...
I'm very upset that, you know, my child was one of the children in the classroom at the time who held this conversation. So I am myself personally going to have a conversation with that adult on Monday morning.
And you also
want to... I feel like that was very unacceptable.
Y'all need to think about filing a lawsuit. When I get off, I'm going to call you and Kathy because we do need, you all do need, and I know you're listening to all of them. When you get with them parents, the parent counselor, and walk through the school with them and look and see whether or not it's clean. If it's not clean, the aldermen and the parents need to not let the children go in. Let me get Eunice, and then the rest of you hang on. I'm coming to you. Eunice, did you want to say Eunice, you want to say something to the parent?
Yes, I met you during the Mollison days in 79, Dorothy.
Yes,
we were really out there. You, myself, Regina Stewart, and Marion Stamps, and so many others from
right.
the Tranquility Marksman. And I also remember when we were downtown with the Bogan Broads.
Yeah.
They were calling us N-words in the council meeting, and we were going to war after the session was over. But Bill Curtis, I'll never forget this, held the elevator open because we certainly were going to go to war with them for calling us that.
We went to war.
We
went to war in the jail, too.
Yeah, we were going to jail, too, because we were going to do some damage in the elevator. But Bill Curtis happened mm-hmm. to overhear us say, now call us the N-word. So I've been out there, and I've been happy to say that I was able to do what I was, you know, could. And I'm sorry I couldn't be down there Monday, but I had an appointment. And I was a founding member of CBUC,
mm-hmm.
and I used to work for Harold Washington. I used to get around a lot, but things have changed so much, we've got to get back together again because they're going to try to do a job on us, and I'll get off now because I know you have other people waiting to call.
I know, and I got to let you off. Thank you, Eunice. I knew you wanted
I'll
to
call
the
us.
Yeah, Lana, she was just giving you an encouragement. That's one of our seniors. I'm a senior, too, giving you encouragement. Do you want to wrap up, Yolanda? You want to thank our audience and tell us, wrap up and give us a closing statement?
Yeah, I just want to let everyone know that this is just one of many disinvestments that has happened to not only our school, but many schools around the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the schools that were the assessment schools for a school as a result of the school closure. When they closed over 50 schools a few
mm-hmm.
years back,
mm-hmm.
we accepted Overton Elementary School where our children were just recently cut of our bus services.
The children from the school that was closed had a bus coming to Marla, so they've cut the service of that?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. So now our children that are still in attendance in Overton boundaries, which CPS has decided to be slick, of course, because the school is closed, there's no Overton boundaries now. So
but they have to come through gang fighting, and it's very dangerous what they got to come through.
Walk through 47, drug activity, gang activity. We have had so many, issues in the areas with shootings and things like that. So our children have to be fearful and walk from 49th and Indiana all the way on the other side and then cross over to King Drive to get to school every day.
And
we've been waiting on a response, and we still haven't gotten the response that we're waiting to hear.
Well, Yolanda, I want to thank you, and I'm going to talk to you later today.
Also, can I just say one last thing? Uh-huh. We were just certified to become an IB school, but I'm trying to understand, how do we become an IB school with no language arts teacher and fifth graders? We currently have 34 fifth graders in the classroom because we lost our fifth grade teacher due to a budget cut.
Explain to them what you're talking about. They might not know about the level of school you're talking about.
International baccalaureate. We were in the running to become an international baccalaureate school. We became certified, so now we are an IB world language school.
Are they lying? They just lying, playing games.
It's right. We have no language teachers. How are we a world language school with no language teachers?
Yeah, that don't make no sense. Yolanda, I'm going to have you back another time. We're going to keep update. And like I said, I will call you and Ms. Dale when I get off the air. And all of them, I know you're listening, and you need to call them, and y'all need to go over there and do a walkthrough. I also will reach out to Ms. Jackson. I'm going to reach back out to the mayor and all the rest of them and let them know we're not playing. We're hanging in there with y'all. And we're with you, the BON family and all our community. We're with you, and hats off to you. Thank you for your bravery. Thank you for doing what Dr. King said. You got to fight for your own self, your own emancipation. And certainly
that's right. We're going to fight.
Okay. Thank you, Yolanda.
All right. Thank you.
And God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I think you're my neighbor. Don't you live across the street from me?
Yes, ma'am. I do.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. My daughter coming
in. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. We're going to go back to the phone. We threw with Yolanda over there. We're going to go back to the phone. My daughter told me Yolanda live across the street from me. See? Neighbors and neighbors. We're going to go back to the phone. But, see, that's what I'm talking about. She just said that they received the schools from the fifth of schools closed and the busing there, and they eased the busing service out for the children. You have got to be somehow part of what's going on to keep up. And the most important thing, our black children. That's what's important, what we do with our black children. I know Ming Sun, I've been holding a long time. I'm going to go to him because I told him I was coming right back to him, but I had to take Yolanda. Thanks for holding, but I had to take Yolanda, man, son.
Hey, you're right. Hotel,
okay.
Sister Tillman.
Hey, how you doing?
Look, I got to talk fast like my radio wife, Queen Aye, down in Carolina.
Oh, she loves you.
Yeah, firstly, I want to say Asante Sana. Thank you very much to you, Yolanda, and the rest of the parents for that Mollison mass action.
Mm-hmm.
Garvey said, it's the masses that make the nation and the race, so you're right on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Pungazi, congratulations to your daughter Ebony on her Kuzaliwa. Enjoy the day.
Hurry up
and
with me now.
My brother Nathan Gray is listening to you, so I want him to know, don't go nowhere this morning. I'm coming over to you at 9:30.
Okay, well, hurry up now, because my boy...
I went to a great soul jam last night out at Star Plaza, the Stylistics, the Whispers,
Manhattan,
the Intruders.
Ooh, you were bouncing.
I'm hoping y'all can do some of that at Harold Washington Culture Center.
Well, tell me this, man, song. I got to go because my boy's little. Tell me you want to talk about the Haitian people.
Yeah. Lionel Jean-Baptiste was on WVON a few days ago, and I called in because I remember him telling us that America really owes the Haitian people and the Haitian Revolution because we ran the French out of Haiti, and that freed up Louisiana and some of them other Gulf states for America to take control of.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have Louisiana or some of them other Gulf states
without
Haity doing what it did.
We're going to talk about this some more next week in depth. Because
we owe them big time.
Well, we're
going to
talk about the whole Haitian struggle in depth next week. We have to give it some really good time because they are not immigrants. They are refugees. And here this government said they're going to send them back. And black folks need to rise up in mass about our Haitian brothers. Kwame Raoul, all these other folks, rise up. Look at Gutierrez and all of them. all these other folks fight for their country. We asking all the Haitian people to fight for Haiti. They got the Cubans over there as refugees in Florida. Why are you sending Haitians back? But we're going to talk about it more next week. Thank you, Man Song.
Just keep on pushing.
Thank you. Got to keep on pushing. We got to talk about this. We're going to do a whole thing with the Haitian stuff next week. Okay? Let me talk to Alan. Alan, you've been holding for a whole hour and a half. How you doing?
How you doing? You know, it's going to get pretty hard for African-American people because you know why? The Kennedys are a good family of people that John Kennedy was the president. And you know our former, you know, our president Donald Trump, he didn't come give some kind of accolade to John Kennedy, and both of them sit in the same office, and he released the tapes. This was said that Donald Trump is not friendly to African American people. You know what I feel with Reverend Jackson, you know, because he got a disease. Chicago need a culture like a center like Dr. King, Maynard Jackson, and they got the Dr. King Center down in Atlanta, and they make money off that. The Jackson
family.
You
know what, but you know what, Alan?
Go ahead.
They got a King Center in Atlanta.
Right,
my
money maker.
My hat's off to Leon Hall, who worked with Ms.
Right.
King. Leon was part of our organization, part of SSC, to get it. But the black community don't even support the King Center.
Right.
Even the
right.
people who got the money don't support it. A lot of
right.
stuff is in disarray. Thank you so much, Alan. It's in disarray because they don't even support it. I tell you, let me just try to empty this board. I got 15 minutes. I wanted to play a song. Art, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, young lady. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine trying to get through this board now.
Good. Two or three things.
One and two.
First of all, I don't know why we keep saying why they don't close the schools. The Chicago public schools are owned by black people. So at the end of the day, if you don't want your children going to the school, just simply say we're not returning our children.
I understand the boycott, but you got to be organized. I understand the boycott.
Okay,
we
and
did
that's number one.
Uh-huh.
And number two is I don't understand why we continue to want to tear down our former president and comparing him to Harold Washington. To me, that's a disgrace.
Oh, there's no comparison. There's no comparison between the two. You can't even compare them. There's no comparison. There's no
I don't know why we tear down our president.
Well, I don't know whether Mellon was tearing him down or giving an observation. We have a right to observe. You know, one of the things is to be quiet if you feel something is wrong too. The only way we could have made President Obama stronger is the black community had not been so silent. That don't mean you're tearing him down. And see, you have to. So I don't think Marvin was doing that, Art. He was giving an observation.
You continue to say things that the president
the
is
truth.
Not a he's not a descendant
no, I was,
from
no,
slaves
I wasn't,
and all
it's
that
not
stuff.
Him. It's this country I'm talking about. They would not have allowed that. I'm saying this country had a way of manipulating and doing things. You know,
he's not
a descendant of any black. He don't Michelle doesn't. He don't understand our struggle. Now my thing is telling people don't get mad with him because he don't understand it. He's being the president. He's president of the United States. Don't expect them to understand. I think that's what I was talking about, Art. I'm not going to get into an argument with you. It's the same way they do black history right now. We fought for black studies and black history. They have African teaching black history, American black history, and whites teaching it. How are you going to relate? You don't have that. You don't have the Jews doing that. You don't have the Greeks doing it. The Irishmen doing it. The Hispanic, they ain't have you speaking for them. So one of the mistakes we made those 8 years was to be quiet. If we had been active, we probably would have gotten more and made him stronger. You know, he's not beyond reapproach. Nobody is. But to say, oh, my God, don't say that. Oh, no. Oh, don't. When he said he's not going to have the community agreement, he's from the, he organized. You're not supposed to talk about the fact that he's not signing that agreement with black folks so they can save their homes, be quiet and take their homes. Be quiet and don't give them now. If he's not going to have a presidential library but a center, when black people deserve to have a presidential library for our children, but he's going to do a globalization thing, he wants to do that, he's going to do that. You know, but we have a right to talk about it, too. Don't be crazy. All right, love you dearly. Sal, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
When we were celebrating Chance last week for doing this additional thing to support the school system.
That $1 million from Jules.
Yeah, I wanted to get word to Chance through somebody to encourage him to run for one of the positions on the LSC. With the hope that he could stay there at least
one
term.
Well, he's bigger than LSC. He don't need to be on the LSC.
With the hope that he would be able to better understand how the schools work and encourage other folk to take advantage of that opportunity to represent the schools and our children. Secondly, I want to thank Manson.
Sam, wait a second for a minute. Sam, he don't need to be on LSC to understand how the school system works. What he need to do, like he, some of the stuff he's been talking about, Claypool and all these folks, and looking at, but we got to talk about arts. We also got to talk about science. We got to talk about cleanliness in the school. It's a holistic approach. We're talking about band leaders for teachers. He got to take a holistic approach to that. That's one thing he have to do.
Respond.
Okay, yes, sir.
I appreciate what he's doing. I would like to see him do that.
Okay.
If he really wants to get involved, he can get down to the nitty-gritty by becoming a member of that body.
Well, his father's listening. Maybe he'll tell him.
Secondly, uh-huh. I appreciate Mansong bringing this up about the Haitians.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the country doubled in size when we bought the Louisiana Purchase for 3 cents an acre. Doubled in size, but the blacks didn't get a chance to share in that. They gave all that land, new territory,
right,
to those white folks coming into this country.
Right.
The Mexicans celebrate this holiday, Costa Domingo or something like that. And I just found out a couple of years ago what the hell that is all about. And it's them celebrating beating the French. Well, Raul and all of the Haitians here should be
promoting. You know, Sal, I talked about that. And my monologue when I open up that we got to deal with the Haitian question. But it's just that we had so much talk about today. And my monologue at 6:15, I talked about we have got to deal with the Haitian question. Haitians are not, they are not immigrants, they are refugees. They gave the Cubans the right to become citizens and to stay here because they was refugees. But they've always, this country have always been disrespectful to the Haitians on the boats when they come over. That's why I said we're going to get in depth about it. Not next week because I'm going to deal with Rosa Parks next week. But the week after that, we got to talk in depth about the Haitians in terms of how they got sent back on the boats, how they drowned it. All the stuff that's going on and the people that's here, they're so glad to be here. I ain't none of me that they want to address the Haitian problem, even with what Clinton did to the Haitians and how they foundation took all that money. We're going to get somebody on who understand all of that and you can call back. Okay, anything else? I got to go.
George W. made a comment about the Haitians when he was challenged by a female black reporter in reference to the Cubans being able to just make it to land,
mm-hmm,
and they're safe. And his simple, stupid-ass response to her was that, well, that's different. Comparing
well, because blacks are the different. Well, they out, they know why everything is different because man can ride the back if it's not bent. Thank you so much, Sal, and thank you for your support of the Mollison Parents. And we're gonna find out exactly what's going on here. And I would hope that they go and inspect that school on Sunday. And if they've been spraying it and blowing it out, I hope that somebody's in there opening up all those doors. And I hope if the parents' children are getting sick, that they should sue. Maceo, I'm running out of time. Help me out. Some of these folks been holding all morning. What you doing waking up to what y'all talking about? You supposed to be woke and listen to me and know what we're talking about. What's going on, Maceo?
Good morning.
You don't have but a few minutes. I got some
right.
folks online and waiting all morning. You just wake it up.
I'm going to be fast.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to pay homage to the great Harold Lee Washington. From everything that I have read and heard from you in particular, the great Harold Lee Washington was totally committed to the cause. And from the point of the standpoint of when he worked for Alderman Metcalf, bringing about the young Democrats, young black Democrats, and then as a state representative, a state senator, a congressman, he was always for the upliftment for the rights of African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And as a lawyer, he understood the law in terms
of combating
it. He
also was a boxer. He was in the service. Harold was a maverick. His father, his father put his boot on Third World Democrat Organization on the second floor of 47 in South Parkway. You all go out today and take pictures. Take your children next to the Harold Washington. Take pictures of Harold Washington's statue and make sure they see that.
And I pay tribute to him. I have a tribute to him on YouTube, a slideshow tribute to him.
Well,
but anyway, thank you very much.
Okay.
I love you. And we need more African-American politicians like the great Harold Lee Washington.
Okay, I got to go. I got Dr. Russell. I'm not sure what this is, Dr. the Harold Dennis or not. Is this Dr. Russell the dentist?
This is Dr. Russell of Inglewood, Madam, and the community activist with Mary and Stamps.
Oh, okay. I thought you was Dr. Russell, who used to be Harold's dentist. That's why I came right to you. But what you going to say?
Yes, I'm trying to say, number one, you understand, is that you understand the Democratic Party, you understand, and Clinton, you understand, refuse, you understand, the Haitians to come to Florida, so put him back on the ships.
Right.
And also that Gutierrez, he's nothing but a racist. He was the first to go ahead and leave the coalition that Harold Washington started.
I agree with you.
Situation. And also, number three, we need to get rid of Mayor that Hitler, that's in that Jewish body, that mayor downtown.
Daley not the mayor now. You got Rahm Emanuel down there.
Yes, he's a Hitler. He's a Hitler. Get rid of him.
Thank you, Dr. Russell. Dr. Russell, have a moment there. Okay, Milton, I'm coming to you very briefly because I ain't got but 30 seconds for you, Milton. Yes,
I'm
Milton.
Glad you played Dr. King's speech. I was 21 years old in Vietnam. I saw my life pass in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm here for a divine purpose.
Yeah.
Our problem, the African American problem, is the white European man. The Greek is a European.
Okay.
They are the richest people on earth. The Greeks.
Okay.
When the Greeks came to Africa, gave us the Bible, told us there was a white man named Jesus.
Well, I'm not going to say. I believe that Jesus was born in Africa, and Mary and all life came from Africa, and I believe that the Garden of Eden was in Africa. I really believe that with all my heart, and I believe that it's Africa where all life began. Let me talk to Kate. Kate, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Kate, all right.
Okay, my take on it is that I'm glad you're there for the parents because they need seasoned people to work with them to so they can fight this great CPS and the system so they can get done. I would also like to see other parents that are in other schools on the north side and newer schools to tell what's going on in their schools so that the parents of this school more ammunition.
Yeah, I agree. We gotta do something. I was telling some of the talk show hosts were saying that this fight was a political fight between Pat and I. I don't have a political fight between Pat, even though I disagree with a lot of stuff that she might be doing, and I know how she got in office. She's the alderman. I want her to do her job. That's all I want her to do. She's the alderman. It's not political. It's about those babies. And somebody tried to reduce it to being a political fight. How having rats in the school with babies a political fight?
Right, because, you know, in those conditions, I would not send my child back to the school. We would be looking for another school.
Well, Yolanda, baby, is sick now. They should pay. These parents at Mollison should really file a suit.
Right, they need to file a suit. I think that was an excellent idea, file a suit.
Okay. Well, we're going to try to put together a whole thing to look at CPS. Now, you can go online and see the health report from CPS from Mollison. I bet they got a lot of schools online that didn't pass inspection. I'm going to look when I get home. And but Mollison did not pass the inspection, and it is on it's online. Thank you, Kate. I gotta
thank
go.
You.
I
Bye-bye.
Wanted to thank you. I don't know how many minutes I got over there because I got to I want to try to play this song. I got to play this song. You got the power. How many minutes I got over there? Okay, I'm gonna try to play "You Got the Power" by Charles Bevel. Raheem, how you doing?
Alderman, you know what? It's the same about Pat Dow. Would you consider running for alderman again?
Oh,
and getting
no.
Young Musheen.
No, Ben that did that. Somebody else have to do that. Ben that done that. Right now I'm trying to empower black people all over this country. And we did have an agenda when we was there. And the Europeans decided to fool black folks. So not at all. You know, you don't have to be an alderman or be an elected official to fight for your community. I was never there just to try to be this high and mighty 50-year elected official. I was there to fight on behalf of black folks to carry out Harold Washington, Dr. King's dream. So let's pull together and do what we got to do for our babies. Not at all. I'm not interested.
It's shame of herself, and I wish you would consider running, and I thank you.
Well, let's hope that she changed. Let's hope she consider doing what she's supposed to do. If not, it's up to the people to take her out. But, no, I'm not interested in doing that. I'm interested in trying to deal with our baby. Some folks tried to make it political. I heard another radio show trying to make it political, and I started laughing. I heard her on the thing talking about what she did. This is about our babies. If you can't see about our babies, you ain't fit to be leading us. Nobody, not just Pat, anybody that's in this system. And you know, when you got this many, are we going to play You Got the Power? When you got this many black women in office, there's no reason, because we are maternalistic, that we shouldn't be able to do more. Even the black men, you know, we got the power. We had the power to elect Harold Washington, but it was bigger than Harold Washington. You got the power if you're alderman. Nothing goes on in your ward without you signing off on it. The TIF money, all these other aldermen and elected officials be pushing their power. But some of the black folks want to push, just don't know how to. And they're scared because it's post-traumatic slavery syndrome. You know, so you got the power, you just got to use it. That's all. And it's got to be on behalf of your community, not on behalf of nobody else, but on behalf of your people, those people who elected you. Not, okay, I got to represent everybody. No, you represent black people. And if there's other folks in your ward, represent them too. But your main thing is black people. It's just like everybody running for office, and all they said is they hate Trump. Tell me more than that. What you gonna do for us? What you gonna do for us? You got the power, y'all. Charles Bevel. Sorry, y'all can't take no more calls. Y'all, I know y'all trying to get through. Can't take no more. You got the power now.
I see that cold, muddy water.
Harold Washington understood he had the power. Yeah.
I see that dark.
Happy birthday, Ebony. Jamoke. You got the power. Come on, y'all. Hats off to the mouths of parents. You got the power.
Make that storm a breeze.
Come on, y'all.
And it's all there in your heart.
Your heart and your mind is one. God will direct you. Come on, God. Come on up in here. Your heart and mind is one.
I see that awful mountain.
We see the problem. Black folks got them. We got a heavy mountain to climb. We can climb that mountain, y'all. We can do it. You got to go vertical. Come on, y'all.
Found the
power. To lay that mountain down. Yes, black people. You got the power, black people. You built this country. This is yours. Nobody deserves it any more than you. Come on now. Nothing wrong with being black American. This is your country. You built it. Don't let nobody take it from you. If you can't fight for the babies, who you gonna fight for? Fight for the senior citizens. Fight for the children. Fight for the women. Hey, black folks got the power. That's why they up in our churches. That's why they in our community. With the Pablo dog theory, keep you all upset. You got the power. Don't let them misuse your power. Black. You got the power.
You have got the power. Yes,
you got the power, y'all.
You have got the power.
Your heart and your mind is one. God dwells in the subconscious in your mind. You got the power, black people. Don't give up. Don't be upset. You got the power. You got the power. It's right there in your heart. It's right there in your mind. We can't lose hope. When you lose hope, you're already dead. Dr. King got a whole speech about keep hope alive. I'm going to find that speech one day and play it for you. Jesse said keep hope alive. Reverend Jackson, hope you feel better. Prayers out to you and your family. But we can't give up hope. We have to lose hope means we done lost the battle. You know, we done lost our community. We've come through a lot, y'all. We've come through a lot. We've come through slavery, Jim Crow. We come through displacement. We come through everything. We can do it, y'all. We must show our young people that they got the power. We must show our babies they got the power. Mollison School parents, hats off to you, and hats off to everybody who's out here struggling and fighting, knowing you got the power, knowing there's hope. Dorothy Wright, Tim McCoffey, in a conversation with me every Saturday from 6. Hey, don't forget the senior dinner next week. I'll see you at the senior dinner. I'll see you at the senior dinner next week at the House of Hope. Y'all come on out and let's enjoy. We're going to have a good time because we got the power, too. Until next week, Dorothy Wright, Tillman Sands. Hey, y'all. Reparations now.
Brutality in this slavery industry is this nation's foundation of economy. What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands, God bless us, forced to be a field hand by another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and Mother Africa, in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resource. So to her people, pay remorse or feel the force of a poor first slave. Kidnapped from my landlocked and chained, brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my
Egypt retaliates. Another Trump dispute. I'm Christopher Cruz. Egyptian war plane.